One of them is name one of the characters is named Bran, but not like the Bran that's a major character on the show, just another Bran in the world.
Awesome.
Well, they do discuss it in the books. They discuss how there many
are,
brands
there are. Quite there a few brands.
There are many. There many?
Is he Bran the Builder?
There's Harry Waters is a guy in there.
Oh, God.
No, I don't know.
And my favorite guy, his name is Dale Tomato. And he's a real-ass dude just walking around. And it's not like he's a pasta chef or something.
So here's the thing about J.R.R. Martin. He is, as you may or may not know, he is absolutely obsessed with food. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll go on for, like, 6 or 7 pages describing a banquet. Like, the suckling pig and the lamb.
Yeah.
So clearly, even coming through in his character.
Right. Now you're talking about J.R.R. Martin, who is George R.R. Martin's, like, evil, super fat twin brother.
Yes, I met him.
Hello, my name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy. I have already forgotten which game I'm bringing.
Hey, it's Chris Plant, and I am the commissioner.
I have no idea what that means. My name is Ross Frechick, and I've got the best game of the week.
Here on the Besties, every week we select the newest, hottest releases, fresh off the shelves, and pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat to see which new game reigns supreme. Once we have a victor, we pit that game against the current reigning champion and decide whether or not we have a new favorite game of the year. In what has become Besties tradition, we have uncovered a new rule. Much like Inception, we have gone yet another layer deeper into the Besties fiction, have replaced the Chris Granichon 2000 with the concept of commissioner. Griffin,
now,
this is your idea.
Real quick, before we get into that, can we explain how we have decommissioned the Chris Granitron? Did we do it, you know,
you mean
following...
with a hammer, right? Like how we took a hammer.
That's not, I mean, that's not ethically, I feel we have a higher ethical imperative than just beating it to death with a hammer.
Although
he's my coffee table now, so fine.
He does occasionally still come back to life, and Russ will occasionally have to thwack it with a hammer.
Yeah, okay.
But
I was more talking about like we have to take it to Best Buy so they can get rid of it.
No, he's a big fan of Friday Night Lights. I watch it on Netflix, and he watches along.
And every once in a while, he goes, "I have the same name as a dancer." Ha ha ha!
And also, his torso is a bong now.
It's amazing. He's the greatest robot ever.
So I had this crazy dream last night, and it was, what if every week we rotated, and one of us, instead of presenting a shitty iOS game, Chris, we took turns being the Besties commissioner. So we don't present a game. Instead, we just adjudicate and lead the discussion of the other three games in contest.
I really like that.
I think it's a great idea.
I don't care for it.
Okay, but it's what we're going to do because the other stuff is apparently not very good to listen to.
Right.
And that's, like, super important for this show.
For a listening thing, that's one of the key things.
It's like if it was a YouTube that was bad to watch, that's sort of what that's like the sensory, like, equivalent.
Like, where would you put that on, like, a ranking of the important stuff?
Oh, very high on the list.
Yeah. So
I'll kick things off then. I'm gonna take your three games. I'm throwing them in the ring, BattleBot style, and Justin, your bot will take this first swing.
Okay, my bot this week for the best game of the week. I almost feel a little bad because this seems obvious that I'm gonna win, but I'm gonna just keep on trucking. Diablo 3, the devil, as the ads you've seen on all the buses, they say. The devil is back in town. That's the tag.
Jesus take the mouse.
Jesus take the mouse. The devil's back in town. Yablo, as I've been calling it. Yablo is back.
Yablo be there.
Yablo's back, and everybody is clicking on it, and I guess that's my pitch.
How have you played it, or have you just like...
Yeah, I'm to about level 15. I got a monk. Okay. He has a strong faith in the Lord, and Lord helps him punch fast. and he also can drop a bell on people, which is a pretty good skill to have.
That's not a sizable bell. It's a literal bell.
Now, I have not... I'm not a big... I've never played Diablo for any length of time. I maybe put 10 or 15 minutes into Diablo 2. And I think that the game has really conflicted me, I think. On the one hand, it is such a great way to sink a couple hours, you know, getting the gear, looking for all the swords and magic items and going through dungeons with a friend. And that all works great. And, like, if that's what you're in the mood for, Diablo 3 is just perfect. Where it kind of loses me is the fact that it's not as a game design, it's not very good. Like, it's not, I mean, and this is probably anathema to people who've been super into Diablo, but it's not a good design of a game. It's basically like Windows. You're just clicking a bunch of stuff. And then things happen. There's not a whole lot of strategy to it. It's a lot of reward. Like, the reward systems are well constructed, but as a game design, I don't think it's particularly rewarding. Like, what skills you choose to use in a certain encounter and how you approach it almost never has any bearing on whether or not you succeed in the situation. And I have not played the nightmare difficulty. Maybe at that point you have to think through it a little bit more. But it's just a very shallow experience. But again, if that's what you're in the mood for, and I've played it for hours and hours and hours as an entertainment, as a diversion, if that's what you're in the mood for, it's fantastic. And playing with a friend is even better, because you can just sort of seamlessly drop into somebody else's game. There's cross game chat. Even if you're not together, if somebody else is playing, you can ping them and ask if they want to hop into your world or vice versa. And your progress is consistent across the game. So there's really no reason not to, even if the person is behind you in the story, you can still get all the experience and loot and gold and everything. So there's big rewards for you regardless. So, like I said, if you can get past sort of the fact that the game itself is kind of dumb, is really dumb, it's a pleasant way to spend your time.
Justin, I have a question, or more of a comment, okay, about what you just said. If I hadn't heard you say the name of the game at the beginning of that kind of little spiel,
yeah,
I would have sworn you were talking about a Facebook game.
I mean, it's not that far off. Like, I don't want to be a jerk about it, but...
This is not fair to Diablo. Justin, I've played with you in Diablo, and I know you're only at level 15, and you're going to hate what I'm about to say next, I realize. Diablo 3, specifically, sort of the first, I would say... It's only, like, 3 hours of gameplay. It's not, like, Final Fantasy 20 hours of gameplay. You have to play before it gets good. But once you hit about level 20, and you have character decisions to make, like which loadout you pick... That's sort of where the game opens up and becomes...
How do you mean?
So, I'll put, for example, my wizard. As the wizard, you start off and it's like, you've got your magic bolt and you've got your, like, surrounding ice attack. And that's pretty much it. And as you level up, more skills that you can pick from get unlocked. And so you get to this point where you're like, oh, I'm dealing with a lot of little guys. I need to change up my loadout to deal with, like, area effect stuff. Or like, I'm fighting a boss, so I want just like direct damage on one target. And I think that's where the game gets really satisfying, because you're altering your playstyle depending on what you're facing.
Okay.
Not to defend your game, because it sucks, but I really like it.
I guess I see that. Is that necessary, though? I mean, like,
it becomes necessary to change
your loadout. Are you optimizing?
Yes.
or are you, I mean, is it like, oh, we would have failed that encounter had it, like, I would have died.
Yeah. You would have failed encounters if.
I think I've played a little bit less. I think I'm like level 14 near the end of the first act. Like, I don't know. I think my problem with the game is the, I know you can change the loadouts, and I'm starting to reach a point where that's becoming important, but I think my problem is that you can only have access to so few abilities at any one time without having to change your loadout. Like, I think people gave World of Warcraft a lot of shit, and they still do for being, like, mindless, but I feel like compared to Diablo, like, in World of Warcraft, you have dozens of abilities that you have to, you know, be constantly thinking, what's the best thing? What do I have to use right now to stay alive? Especially in the in-game stuff. That in, I don't know, it just sort of sets Diablo's two primary abilities and then, what is it, four support abilities? Like, I don't know, it kind of puts it to shame, it seems like. I don't know, I don't think I've played enough to really have the full Diablo 3 experience, but it hasn't really hooked me in the way that I was hoping it was going to.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure. I still like getting the new powers. I think the glyph system that they've built, where basically you have everyone, every character that you play through will have the same skills, but you can augment them with runes that you get as you level up. You just automatically get these runes that you can use to alter your powers. So, though everyone will have the same skills, the collection of skills and how you've augmented them with runes will probably be pretty different person to person.
But at the same time, everybody has, by the time everybody reaches max level, they're going to have access to the same set of skills and the same set of runes.
No. But hold on a second, because I made the same mistake that you're making, which was, well, whatever, everyone will be basically the same. But because of the cooldown time required to change out skills, you really have to stick with one thing for each encounter. So there's a lot of strategy involved in, like, what loadout you're picking. Also, to your point about, like, only having a few skills at one time, it's six skills at one time that you can pick from. And honestly, I prefer that to, like, to World of Warcraft, where you're, like, you've got this toolbar of, like, 40 skills, and you're, like, constantly having to micromanage all of them. I'd rather a small set that are all really useful.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, okay. Hit me.
And maybe this is more of a crackpot theory about Blizzard games, especially like World of Warcraft and then Diablo more so. Do you ever doodle while you're on the phone? Like, you need like something to do while you talk to someone? Sure. I kind of feel like these are like the ultimate phone doodling experiences. Like, they're really just good excuses to be social with people. And maybe they're made for people who aren't especially social to begin with, which is an unfair judgment. I mean, it's totally baseless.
Yeah, but, totally and completely.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay, great. But no, I think you're selling the games awfully short, because they are engaging, and you can't really be absent-minded in either game.
Yeah, I don't mean to sell all the way down that. I mean, I'm not saying that they're bad games. I think they're probably great games, but I think they're kind of like reward loops that feel really good. And then the memorable stuff is what you remember with your friends. Like, do you really look back and you're like, oh, man, when that devil said he was going to get me and then I got him, that was...
Yeah. That was
pretty good. There are some cooler story beats.
I honestly don't know. I haven't played through it yet. So
you're talking about Diablo 3? Not really. Yeah. Not
in 3?
Really. No, not really.
Not story beats, but there are neat moments, I think.
The FMV cutscenes are badass. Like, they're tremendous. But story-wise, like... Really? You know what's going on right now? In Act 1, you know what's going on?
What do you mean? Oh, my God. Are you telling me it's going to twist and turn?
No, that's the problem, is that it pretty much goes on a straight line.
No twisties? Okay.
I just hope I get
to fight the devil at the end. That's all I want.
I think my biggest problem is that it doesn't let me be the standalone, you know, pretty princess that's totally different from all of my peers, and they can't be the kind of hero that I am.
What?
In the game, I can't be like a specialization, like some sort of specialization that I picked that maybe not everybody else picked.
Yeah, but you can do that. That's what I'm saying.
A unique flower. Yeah, but then they can just do it too by like clicking the thing and then waiting 10 seconds.
So you'd rather, I would just say I like the fact that like instead of having like a whole respec system, you don't have to worry about it. It just cuts out the middleman. And it also removes the fact of like, oh, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing when I started playing the game, and I didn't pick a bunch of crappy spells and got stuck.
And then you start over.
I do like that, guys.
As commissioner, Justin, give me a final sentence pitch.
You can play it for years and still find new loot, and I bet they'll continue to support it. And it's great fun. Click, 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 click.
Thank you. Diablo is not going to sell any copies because of that pitch.
Okay, Russ, it's your turn. So give me a great pitch for your game.
I can do that.
Now, Russ, real quick, I feel like we have to address this. Are you recording inside of a construction site right now?
So, he's actually in shop class.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this because you might hear it on the recording, and I apologize. So I live in New York City, as you may or may not know.
Where everyone is rude all the time.
All the time. The mayor punched me in the face the other day. It was really upsetting. Thanks, Mike Bloomberg. Anyway, so in New York City, you have many neighbors because you live in an apartment. And for whatever reason, New York City people don't talk to their neighbors because they're creepy usually. And in this scenario, one of my neighbors is doing some pretty intense construction work somewhere. I don't even know what apartment it is, but it's somewhere in my listening proximity. And right now they're drilling something. So you might hear a buzzing. It's not.
You will hear. You are hearing it actively now. Hear that sound?
Yeah.
Hear that sound? That's drilling.
That's drilling. So someone's being drilling upstairs.
Gross.
Wow.
You're better than that.
I'm not really. And
what's your stupid game?
Okay. So instead of saying my game outright, I'm gonna give you a quote from my game.
Oh.
You ready?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna do the voice too.
Go ahead.
Oh, good. I was hoping that you would do this.
Does this character sing?
No.
My heart was like a devil's horn looking into the glass eye of a hooker, down on her luck in the streets of sorrow where the dreams of a brighter tomorrow go to die.
Is that really from that?
That's Proust, right?
No, that is Hauser, actually.
Hauser. Is that a real quote?
No. But it's
in the style of...
In the style of Max Payne 3. So my game is Max Payne 3.
Okay.
So Max Payne's been gone for a while, just like Diablo has. Right. And also similar to Diablo, the core of the Max Payne experience has not changed in the 8 or however many years it's been since the last Max Payne game. It's still a game about, you know, diving fancy, slowing down time, and shooting guys in the head. That hasn't changed. But there's a lot of work that they did to make it feel... I don't want to say more realistic, but it feels like heavier, like more impactful what you're doing. Where, I don't know, all the guns feel like really powerful, and like as you're moving through the world, they did a lot of work on the animation. So like Max like moves very realistically and like gets knocked into walls and it like he tumbles, and it just has a gritty, I guess more, I don't want to say visceral, but like heavier feeling to it.
Substantial
is a good word. That makes the combat feel much more interesting. It's also kind of refreshing because I'm used to so many games being like so cover centric, whereas Max Payne is very
anti-cover. It doesn't want you to cover. Yeah,
it discourages it, because if you're in cover the whole time, you'll run out of ammo really quickly and just get overwhelmed.
Wait. Are you talking about Max Payne 3?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I mean, it depends what difficulty you're playing on. On harder difficulty levels, it's sort of a mix of cover and no cover. But
I think you have to use the... Max is so fragile, I think it forces you to constantly use the cover.
Maybe I'm just really good at shooting guys.
Maybe you're just so good.
I mean, for me, it was six in one, half dozen in the other. Like, you can, if you're very conservative with your ammo and you can aim, you know, super well, you can use the cover to shoot. But if you're in bullet time and you're moving, nobody's going to hit you.
Yeah.
That's like, way more effective than cover. So you almost, and you can dive for free.
Yeah.
So, like, you almost always have a reason to be moving.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can dive for free?
You can always go into, if you're... even if you don't have the meter, you can still slow motion dive.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. I don't. It's rare. I can't think of the last shooter that I've played where it was just like I just want to replay that level because it was fun. The shooting mechanics alone were fun. Not like, oh, it looked really cool or whatever. It's just like in the way that it was fun to run around Mario's castle in Super Mario 64, I feel the same way playing Max Payne.
There are moments, especially Max Payne is one of those rare examples where I think it gets better the further you get into it. There are some moments in the later levels that aren't even moments that are like were scripted or something, that were just things that I did in the game that were some of the coolest things I've ever done in an action game. Just these perfect moments where like you're almost dead and you dive and you miss your dive, so you basically just slam into a wall and slump to the ground, and then the guy comes around the corner and you have one bullet and you cap him. And it's chock full of moments like that where like at one point I was running down this super narrow hallway and I dove to the side when this guy came around with a shotgun. I dove to the side to try to get out of the way, and unbeknownst to me, I was walking past a window at the time. So I accidentally just slow-mo dived through through an office window as I started shooting this guy. And it's full of really, really cool moments like that.
And they do, like, it'll go into, like, bullet time. Like, when you kill the last guy, it, like, all slows down. And you look badass, and the guy getting shot is like, oh, I got shot. And then
you did it again, man.
No, but it really does, like, they do a very good job making you feel in command of, like, an action movie. Like, it constantly, just watching it, like, someone watching you play will just be like, that was an awesome moment.
And it's, when there's a pretty gory shot and you're putting a lot of bullets into a guy and there's blood everywhere and you see the holes appearing in him, you can actually hold the A button to slow that down even more in case
savor
you some, so you can have
in case
plenty
you
of time
some additional time to masturbate. To
just that's when I right lick there. The screen when it's slowed down.
Look at this. Look at those head flowers.
Yeah.
That's what I call them.
So
it opens up.
I do.
You know, I set up that masturbation joke and you guys just couldn't help yourselves with pouncing.
I wanted
I did
it, yeah.
All the hard legwork and you guys just wanted to slip it at the end. You're like the Green Ranger, you know? I had a fine team going, and you just wanted the glory and pop it at the end of the fight.
I think my favorite thing about the game is the fact that you pick up pills to eat pills. You eat pills for power, for strength.
Yeah. Like Pac-Man.
Exactly. And every time you pick up pills, which is so often, the fine folks at Rockstar have pinned a line for Max Payne to say, other than just like, hey, pills, all right, or yeah, pills, these are great. Every time you pick up pills, it's like, looks like these junkies have their own secrets, or yes, my oldest friend. And it's different every time. It is the complete and total diametric opposite of Gex. He never eats an item.
The pills over here guy is gonna go to the Max Payne school of finding pills.
Yeah,
he's gonna give him all kinds of different.
What does that Excel spreadsheet look like? You know, just
right?
Thousands.
You know, there was somebody at Rockstar who was
just the pills guy.
On
just
pills writing. Guy. He's like, looks the sins of my past in a swallowable format.
There's one in the. He finds him in the arcade, and he says, just call me back, man. Gobble, gobble, waka, waka.
You stole Chris Plant's Pac-Man joke.
What?
You stole Chris Plant's Pac-Man joke.
You doubled the Pac-Man, and then you added a Fonzie Bear.
Oh, wait. No, it's not a Fonzie Bear? Like on Happy Days?
Hey,
waka, waka.
Waka, flocka, flame.
Can we also... Oh, stop it. Can we also talk about the fact that Max Payne is pretty much the worst bodyguard ever?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I wish we could talk about spoilers, because you are right. Yeah. His ineptitude.
Well, even in the first two levels, it's like he botches, like, six jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to get so drunk. Hey, where'd you go?
Let's just say this. Max is a bodyguard, and he's really bad at it, and his solution seems to be, I'll get vengeance for you. It's like, I kind of wanted to live. Like, you can keep cashing my checks, I guess. Like, it's very nice of you to go get vengeance for me. I kind of wish you'd shot that guy and maybe stood near me at some point instead of being at a bar and then hearing me on fire and coming in to see what all the hubbub's about.
It's basically like playing capture the flag, and he's standing kind of near the flag, but only waits until someone grabs it and starts running away. And then he shoots them in the back and might kill the hostage in the process.
It's right. Like he's a bodyguard in the very literal definition of the word body.
Yeah. So, right. It's
not
it's a
safety
lot of fun,
guard. He's not okay. Guarding your personal safety.
Russ, give me a final sentence.
She was like a cold whore in the night.
Why?
Dreaming about whores and prostitutes and pills that whores take on the street of sorrow.
You said it three different times.
Wow.
Glorious.
Okay. Do you want to take a break? Anybody have any good stories they want to catch up?
Well, Chris Plant, you just got back from your honeymoon Assassin's Creed franchise. Why don't you tell us about that?
I want to say that it's Chris Plant's fault that we took a week off.
Definitely.
You say that all you want, it's not going to make it true.
I had a honeymoon, and you're going to pin blame to me for being happy for once. So here's what I did. I saw everywhere in Assassin's Creed for my honeymoon. I went to Rome, and then I traveled up and down to Italy, and then I went to Istanbul.
What about Florence?
Or Constantinople. Of course I went to Florence.
Well, that should
have
been
first. Do you know where Italy is? I did it opposite. I did Rome, and then I did Florence. Is that okay?
No.
Oh, well. But it was really good. But what I was telling Russ earlier, what I realized about the Assassin's Creed game, about, like, while in Rome and Florence and kind of in Constantinople or Istanbul, was that those games are so fun. Climbing and killing things is so great and so memorable. And everywhere I went, I would see the Galata Tower, and I'd be like, man, I really climbed that. And I would tell Steffi, my wife, and she would be wholly disinterested. But then I would think, like, I don't remember what happened in any of these games.
Sure.
Like, I remember climbing in the Hagia Sophia. And I was like, yeah, but what happened? Did he, like, in my head, it was just an empty world full of, like, bodies that I stabbed.
Bodies and feathers.
Bodies and towers and feathers. And my sister, who I collect, what is it, feathers for. And that is it. Like, I don't remember a single scene from that game. Oh, and my cousin or brother Mario. I remember that.
Mm. Oh, but yeah, Mario.
The stories are just totally forgettable, and they really do a poor job of tying into the environments. Like, you have all these amazing places. It's, like, kind of sad that I can't be like, oh, St. Peter's Basilica or the Uffizi Gallery. Like, why do I not remember something that happened here?
I think a lot of that comes from the open worldness of those games, where it's like, I mean, I guess sort of GTA to a certain extent falls into this as well, where because you're constantly on the move and not spending a lot of time in any one place.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I still have, like, memories from GTA, and it isn't even an exact replica. Like, they go out of their way to not be, you know, New York.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I still, like, know, like, oh, I went across the Williamsburg Bridge, and then I went in the subway tunnel that was probably the F or the G line, and then this all happened. Like,
I bet they're gonna focus more on that for Assassin's Creed 3, don't you think? Because
I actually think even less.
Really?
Because there's so few actual landmarks that are still standing that were around during the Revolution. I mean,
I guess maybe, but in my mind, the Revolution is so tied to, you know, the geography of that era. It's sort of like stuck in time in my mind.
Like the battlefields, I think you're right. Like, I think like the hills, it'll be like, oh, I remember.
But you don't think like Boston and...
Boston doesn't look anything like it did. So you can't really make... There might be like one or two buildings, but for the most part, you can't...
Well, there's Cheers.
Yeah, Cheers was there.
Oh, yeah, you do go to Cheers and you see the mailman.
And Norm is there. And everyone goes, Norm.
Ted Danson, and then there was...
Shirley MacLaine.
Oh God, miss her.
She's not dead.
You know what's you know what I find funny is that Chris Plant is in the most beautiful places on the planet, and he's like, I don't remember this level in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know how much Steffi did not care? Like, I kept saying it. I was like, oh man, when we get back, we're gonna play so much Assassin's Creed together, and she's like, we're here right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Man, cool. I'm going to play that game when I get back.
By myself.
By myself alone.
This is where the fault lines in our relationship start.
I should have married Kristen Bell instead.
Justin, can you tell everyone what your wife calls Assassin's Creed? Because it's probably my favorite nickname for a game ever.
She calls it she likes the puzzle parts of it, but she doesn't really like any of the other parts.
The murder.
The murder and everything. So she has refused to learn about most of it. She calls the game Sneaky Aladdin.
Oh. Sneaky Aladdin.
Sneaky Aladdin.
Let me ask you something. How do you think Altair or your wife have seen more dead bodies?
Oh, oh my God. Wow. That's grim. Probably Altair, because Sydney doesn't let anybody die. Or at least she said she will never let me die. So I don't know.
When she does, will she bend over your body in a dreamlike state and say requiescat in pace?
Yeah.
Do you probably worry that maybe she's a bit like Max Payne and that she says that now, but she's gonna go to the bar and you're gonna get
that sounds pretty close to something that could happen, I think. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, great.
I want to hear who else has.
Yeah, we got Griffin's game.
I do. And did you say game or did you say five games?
I said game.
I said game.
I'm pretty sure you just said game.
It's five. It's five. My game this week is the recently released on the GOG platform Quest for Glory series.
Whoa!
Wait,
the GOG platform or the MUGOG?
GOG with GOG. Just one GOG.
Wait, okay. This is just a re-release of a game that came out 30 years ago. Five games that came out 30 years ago?
No, not 30 years ago. These are super streamlined, patched DOSBox versions of games. Have any of you played the... Justin, I know you were familiar with the Quest for Glory games. It was pretty... pretty important to our childhood. Chris, Russ?
Played Quest 64.
Okay, so...
Oh, yeah,
no.
I played that too. That was a great game.
No.
All right,
is that your game?
This is a different thing, though.
Oh.
They're these great adventure games with role-playing elements in them. So in each game, you can play either a fighter or a magic user or a thief. And in the later games, you can also be a paladin.
What about a monk?
In the later games, you can also be a paladin, but you have to unlock that class. You can be a witch doctor. No, what? I'm just kidding.
What about a monk?
Stop it.
There's no monks.
There's no monks in the games.
Can you be Tony Shalhoub as monk?
The classes are fighter, Tony Shalhoub, magic user. Tony Shalhoub, magic user.
When I play Diablo 3 as monk, I'm really careful about my inventory.
For people that haven't played, Griffin, can you tell them sort of what makes these different from a lot of other adventure games that come out during the period?
What makes them different is mostly the role-playing aspect of it, right? Like there's the King's Quest series. It's sort of in tone similar to that. It's a lot more lighthearted than most of the adventure games that came out, which were already pretty lighthearted. Like they all have a pretty fantasy flair, but there's a lot of jokes. A lot of the games you could tell were programmed by like super huge nerds that, you know, worship Monty Python. There's all kinds of weird cameos. You can turn them off. In each game there's a silly clowns mode that you can toggle, that like one game takes place in Persia, and while you're walking through the streets, you might see the Prince of Persia jump over you. In the first game, inexplicably, you like run and hide behind a tree while the dad from Dinosaurs walks by.
Not the mom.
Thank you. Thank you for that hot Dinosaurs quote. But what sets it apart really is the role-playing game aspect. So whatever class you play, the game is totally different from what it would be if you played the other two classes. Like if you're a thief, you'll have these missions where you have to break into places and steal them, steal things from them and find the thieves guild and fence them. And you still get like puzzle points like in every other adventure game from that era. So you kind of have a track of what you've been doing, but your solutions for each of the puzzle changes based on what class you're playing. And the whole time you have like all these different stats. And whether or not you fail or succeed at how you're trying to accomplish a puzzle depends on if you have high enough stats and good enough gear. So like it's a neat twist on the role-playing aspect. And just the worlds are so great. Each of the five games takes place in like a different area that's sort of influenced by different parts of folklore. Like the fourth game, which is probably my favorite, takes place in this like Romanian setting that's influenced by you know, old horror stories like Dracula and Frankenstein, and there's H.P. Lovecraft stuff in there. The fifth game is all like Greco-Roman, Mediterranean influenced. And you can import your character from the first game to the fifth game. And it's pretty easy to do that with all these DOS box versions.
Would you want to import it to the second game and the third game and the fourth game?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You go from the first game to the second game, you play through it like that. Yeah, so, but this GOG version has fixed so many bugs that the franchise was notorious for having all these horrible bugs. Like, the fourth game had a bug in, like, a main story area that you just, like, I've never beaten it before I played this version, but it's fixed in this version, and it's only, it's $10, and it's a lot of game, because even after you finish the whole series as a class, you can go through and play as a different class, and it's a totally different game. And it's just really well written, and the puzzles are all so clever. There's no, like, weird combinations that you couldn't have figured out. Everything is, like, it's really well directed, and you almost always know what you're doing. It's fantastic, and it's only $10. So
first question.
Yeah,
will
shoot.
It work on my Mac?
I don't actually. No. I think it's only PC.
I've got a question. So, were you drinking New Coke and voting for Jimmy Carter while playing this game?
And counter question: were you just on Wikipedia, Russ?
Yes.
You know, Tony Shalhoub had a birthday that year.
Okay. If you're looking for... I'm assuming everybody who was alive had a birthday that year.
And what about the next year?
Griffin, what's the... did you find the... there is a training academy, a magic training academy, that is referenced several times in the series. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Oh, Wit?
Yeah, Wit.
Yeah, sure.
Did you find that
in
the second game? Because I can remember spending...
So are you asking for game facts right now?
Right now, I'm asking for game facts on a 70-year-old game.
Okay.
I forget where on the wax cylinder I was when I left off. But...
I mean, I think that's... The fact that you can remember that kind of stuff. Like, so many things from this franchise are so iconic. I have already played through the entire series. I didn't need a walkthrough or anything. Like, I've remembered so many things about this franchise, even though I haven't played it in probably 15 years.
Now, Griffin, how much of it is... Now, I remember the first time I played through 1 and 2, it was really heavy on the text entry.
Oh, yeah. No. It comes with the VGA remake of the first game. And there's also this AGD Interactive, I think is the name of the indie developer, who did a remake of Quest for Glory 2, which you can download on their website for free, which is really great. I actually played through that instead of the version that comes with the anthology, but you can import your stuff into that pretty smoothly and export it out to the Quest for Glory 3 that comes with the collection.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's basically the same. It's like a VGA version, point-and-click version, instead of a text entry version. Both have their charms, but that's another option for people who just don't want to mess with text entry at all.
How did you have so much time to play when you're so busy at the signing of Appomattox?
Good. That's really good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good. So, are we ready for a decision or what?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm gonna review these really quick.
Okay.
I'm gonna just kind of type up a few.
I like that we're incorporating GOG releases, by the way, because I wish I'd known so I could have gotten Gabriel and I
GOG
up in there.
I feel like this is a slippery slope. Like, I think the whole point is to pick new games. You might
I think Quest for Glory, I think it justifies itself based on the fact that it's so fixed. Like, it's so I've never been able to beat the one game before this version came out. Like, the amount, I don't know how they would go about developing patches for a game that is kind of old. But they did. It's pretty
Noah's
and it, and it, it really is one of those games where so many of the games that have come out during that time period have been mined for their nostalgia worth already. Like, they've been repurposed or reimagined or remade. And Quest for Glory is one of those very few games that's just sort of sat there in time. You know, there's no FPS remake on the way. Like, it is a singular experience that was pretty much a casualty of the handover from Sierra to Activision.
Yeah, I remember seeing its name on the ledger, on the death ledger, and I was very sad. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's it, that's almost heartbreaking in a way, because when you finish Quest for Glory 5 and it lets you export your save to play in Quest for Glory 6, which does not nor will it ever exist, it's pretty crushing.
I don't know if someone has dug up the rights to this game, like if this part is someone somewhere knew enough about the rights to Quest for Glory that they could sign them over to GOG. So
no
that
kidding.
Gives me hope.
I would fucking kickstart $1,000 towards this. I love this franchise so very, very much.
It was also really noble for them to make a game that the Jews could play after they finished building the pyramids.
Chris Plant.
So I found a winner.
Okay.
I'm gonna just review my notes.
Okay.
First, Griffin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot you really straight.
Okay.
I think you technically have what sounds like the best deal of the week.
Yeah.
Five great games that I'm like, everyone seems to love them. I haven't heard any naysaying. Like I had.
You know who really loved them? Gilgamesh.
You know, maybe I'm gonna change my opinion because I was really for Max Payne. Right now. I really don't know if I want to reward Russ.
Okay.
But my point is, it sounds like a great deal. I don't know if it was a convincing enough argument to make me say that we should let that be like that old of a game. I mean, it was around. When was it around, Russ?
He's actually out. He is bone dry.
You're right out. Now. You literally went too far back.
Dinosaurs.
The 80s.
Oh, great. Okay, dinosaurs. Good job. Okay. Nice so the point it. Is no.
Not the mama.
That is not our winner for this week. Though it does sound great, and I think everybody should download it and support it.
I just bought it. Oops.
Great. Now we're down to Diablo and Max Payne. Diablo, you just did not give a good argument, Justin.
I'm really conflicted. I'm trying to be honest about it. I'm
you
super
grabbed that puppy
about
by
it.
The scruff of its neck. And you threw it under a car.
I don't have the sort of blind nostalgia that I think a lot of people have. And I don't mean that to be dismissive, because I have that for lots of things. But
like Quest for Glory.
Like Quest for Glory is a good example. So I don't know, guys. It's not, as far as game design goes, it's not a good game. It's not. It's not a well-designed game. Sorry. It's fun.
It's not our game of the week, according to you.
Sorry.
Which only leaves Max Payne 3.
I love that we can reach our besties decision by the fucking process of elimination.
Right.
What game's not the worst?
They were all good. I think they're all good games this week. I think we've brought a lot of crap to the table in besties before, and I know that is mostly my fault.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just trying to be less combative and more honest about the games, and I'm glad
you were. And I think we found the right winner because of it.
Yeah, Max Payne 3 is thrilling, and I would recommend everybody play it because I think you're really going to dig it. Now here's the question: what's our current game of the year?
So I think because it's been so many weeks, I think we have to retire Walking Dead.
You think we should send it to the?
I think we should send it to the Besties Hall. Besties Hall.
Okay.
I'm very happy with that. I think I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Okay,
so we have a new standing bestie.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Max Payne 3. Now that means at the end of the year, that means best. That means what? Journey and SSX and Walking Dead are all up for contention.
Yeah,
they're all gonna come back.
I like that.
People keep saying they want a really long episode.
Oh, guys, at this f***ing pace, ugh,
man.
So anyway. Thank you guys for listening to The Besties, our show that we make for you about video games. I've had a lot of people ask if Polygon is going to do a quote-unquote real podcast.
That always
kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. But, it's a little hurtful. But we'll do other podcasts. But this is the podcast we make now, so I appreciate you supporting it. Could you tell a friend, say, hey, there's this podcast I like. It's called The Besties. Listen to it.
Can you let us know if the commissioner thing worked for you as an ear listener?
Or would you like more iOS games?
Do you want more iOS games? Do you want more Chris? Do you want more fictional robots to make these decisions?
Do you want more games from the dawn of time? Okay. We can make that happen for you.
Yeah?
Okay.
Do you want me to murder Russ Frustick with a shovel?
I'd love to hear Russ Frustick murdered by a shovel. Although, like, you'd have to get past all the guys drilling and hammering around him. Yeah. You could just pretend to be an extra construction.
How do you feel about the drilling? How do you feel about the fact that Russ's neighbors are apparently trying to drill to the molten core of the fucking planet?
Hey, Griffin, can you do me a favor? When you're editing this,
just slowly
fade into the theme song from Cheers.
At the end of the episode?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay.
Well, who needs a theme song? Who needs to edit into it?
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
We've got it right here on Vox. You've got a man making the noises.
Welcome back.
No. Okay.
You motherfucker.
Mr. Cotter. That's Mr. Cotter.
Oh, good. Yeah, you got him, Russ. Good catch, buddy. Fucking zinged him. Be sure to join us next Friday for the besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?